And while you're getting settled at the podium, let me announce for the record that your opposing counsel, Ann Hannigan, counsel for AB Painting, called the clerk's office this morning to indicate that she would not be here today. She asserted a medical excuse. So we are proceeding with the argument without her.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is William Leatham, and I represent the appellant funds. This case is about the propriety of a district court's attorney's fee award in an ERISA delinquent contribution case. The issue is, did the district court abuse its discretion by reducing the fund's fees 80% when the funds achieved complete success on their claim, and AB Painting's conduct contributed to the fund's overall fees in the case? The funds submit that the answer to that question is yes, and that the rule which should emerge from the case today is that absent the limitations stated in Moriarty versus FECT, which is commonly known as FECT 2, that proportionality should not be a factor in determining a fee award in an ERISA collection case, regardless of the amount that is at stake.
Are you asking that the Moriarty line of cases be overruled?
That would certainly be the home run for the funds, Your Honor.
However, certainly would be.
Should the court, and there is authority to do that, based on the fact that every other court outside of the circuit which has looked at the issue has refused to acknowledge or accept that proportionality applies and has rejected it. But if the court is not inclined to overrule SPEC, then perhaps this would be a good point to clarify how it may be applied, because the district court, we believe, erred in how it applied proportionality in this case. The district court erred, and this court should rule in the fund's favor for three reasons. First, the district court misapplied the test for determining whether proportionality is a relevant factor. Second, the district court overlooked significant factors which supported the fee request by the funds. And third, it appears that the district court merely eyeballed the fund's fee request and reduced it by an arbitrary percentage because it appeared excessive to the court, and it did not give the funds the opportunity to address the reduction before the court ruled. On the first point, the district court misapplied the test of SPAC. The district court looked at the case and sua sponte determined that the funds had spent too much time litigating over a small amount, and for that reason, fees were excessive and disproportionate. Relying on SPEC, the court slashed the fund's fees by 80%. However, SPEC does not hold, nor does it even suggest, that proportionality is a factor that must be applied in every single case. Rather, SPEC says that proportionality may apply and may be used when, for example, a plaintiff has extremely limited success, or perhaps when a plaintiff has rejected a substantial settlement offer. Yet neither of those situations occurred in this case. The funds achieved 100% of their claim at summary judgment. Further, there was not any substantial settlement offer by AB Painting. AB Painting refused to take settlement discussion seriously after the district court ordered the parties to meet and discuss. It rejected the fund's offer. It refused to offer even a single penny in settlement towards the case, and it returned to court and demanded that the district court set the case for a trial. SPAC is distinguishable from this case in all pertinent respects, and it does not apply. The second point is that the district court failed to consider relevant factors. I've discussed briefly the fund's success, AB Painting's refusal to settle and demand trial. That, of course, forced the funds with no alternative but to litigate.
If I could ask a question about the procedural history here. When you ran into the obstructionist conduct of the defendant in this case, and I know that there were multiple motions to compel and so forth, were there also motions for the sanction of judgment in your favor that would have sort of cut this short?
Yes.
And one of the reasons it went on so long is because of the conduct of the defendant.
That is correct, Your Honor. There were several motions where the funds asked as alternative relief that the district court enter a default judgment because of the discovery violations and the general attack.
So you did ask that everybody be put out of their misery, in this case be ended.
More than on one occasion, Your Honor. When, and, of course, I was saying the funds were required to go ahead and litigate the case. Trustee Anderson, who represents the funds, of course, is a fiduciary under the statute and is statutorily obligated to pursue employer delinquencies. Funds could not turn around and walk away from this case when AB Painting refused to settle and demanded a trial. AB Painting also continued to litigate after the summary judgment was entered. When AB Painting's attorney withdrew from the case, Angela Pantone, the principal of the company, purportedly on behalf of the company, went on a motion filing campaign alleging serious claims against the funds. The funds were required to respond to all of these motions and were validated when the district court ruled in its favor nearly a year later just on those motions, however, at no small expense and fees. Most importantly, the district court overlooked ERISA policy concerns in this case. When Congress enacted ERISA, it did so with the intent to protect employee benefits, and it made an award of attorney's fees mandatory in cases where funds are required to go out and collect employer delinquencies. An across-the-board proportionality rule would frustrate the purpose of ERISA. Such a rule would discourage plans from pursuing small delinquencies because in any case which is contested, the attorney's fees would likely exceed the amount of the recovery. Most important, such a rule would actually serve as an incentive and encourage employers to refuse to settle, over-litigate a case, and then at the end of the day, when a judgment is entered, throw up their hands and scream foul that the attorney's fees are disproportionate to the amount of the recovery. Third point is that the district court's reduction in the fees was arbitrary. AB Painting made no specific objections to the fund's fee request. At the district court, sua sponte slashed those fees by 80%. It did so by merely looking at the, and reaching an arbitrary number of 80%. There was no discussion in the district court's opinion as to how it reached that number. District court did purport to rely upon the fact that the funds had encountered some difficulties in discovery, but it did not elaborate on that fact, and it did not discuss any of the other Hensley factors that would that should normally be discussed. That alone was error, and the district court further did not give the funds the opportunity to respond to the reduction before the court ruled. That, too, was error. In sum, the reasonableness and proportionality in an ERISA case makes strange bedfellows. And the district court should have discouraged AB Painting from turning a very simple case into lengthy, costly, and complex litigation, but it did not do so. Instead, the district court rewarded AB Painting for its conduct, and it penalized the funds. That result is contrary to ERISA policy, and that result should not be permitted to stand.
Thank you, Mr. Latham.
What do you, we're not going to hear from another side, so I just want to ask you this. So in this instance, what would be the course of action to remand and send out a different set of principles for the court to consider?
What the funds would have asked for is that...
I know you want, what, $50,000 or something like that?
It's $50,000 plus.
Yeah. What is the appropriate remedy here? You don't like the $10,000. You say it's arbitrary. Should he have gone through a number of principles and then came up with an amount, or what? What is the proper standard? I know that you don't like the proportional stuff.
Absolutely, and that would have been my lead-off. Yes, first, the district court should not have applied proportionality. And when courts do look at a fee request and when they do cut it by a percentage, which is permissible because the court is not required to scour every time record, but any reduction has to be reasonable. And the court must give a clear and a concise explanation for any reduction that it does give.
It just didn't like the fee. It was too high.
The judge thought the fees were far too high for a small case. But
is this the first time you've been before Judge Grady on that issue?
On this particular issue, yes.
On the issue?
Yes.
Don't be shocked.
Unfortunately, ERISA does not exempt
small... I understand,
small,
you,
We feel your pain.
What we would ask for the court to do is reverse the district court's attorney's fee award and vacate that portion of the judgment that pertains to the attorney's fees, and ask this court to enter an award that would allow the funds the amount of the attorney's fees which they had requested in the district court. We believe this court has that power. If not, then, of course, a remand would be in line with clarification of SPAC, whether it's overruled or whether it should be applied only in certain situations. We would also ask this court for the fees that were incurred on this appeal.
Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Okay. Well, thank
That's
you.
One we can do without any effort.
I thank the court for its time.
And the case is taken under advisement.